Let's read a psalm, please. Psalm 146. Trust it'll go along with what we've already been hearing in the first part of the meeting. I've been enjoying this psalm and numerous psalms lately. I don't know, for some reason I've got stuck in the psalms. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's been an encouragement to me. So let's take time and read the 146th psalm. An untitled psalm, but it says, "Praise ye the Lord." Now, if you have a Newberry or a version with marginal reading, you would see that that word really there is hallelujah. But since we're Gospel Hall people, we don't say that, so we'll just say praise ye the Lord. But hallelujah is okay, because it's right here. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah, or praise ye the Lord. Now God has promised to bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now I'm sure you know that as you go through the Psalms, when you come to Psalm 146, you're hitting the home stretch of the Psalms as they've been brought together. The last five Psalms are the Hallelujah Psalms, the Praise Psalms, and they seem to have been strategically placed here at the end of the book to make sure that we end on an up note. Because as we read through the Psalms, and I suppose the thing that makes it so endearing to us as the people of God is that when you read through the Psalms, you're finding not so much theology, but you're finding the heart experiences of real people. People that are up on the mountain, and that's a great place to be, but unfortunately, when you're up on the mountain, the only way to go is down. And so often we find ourselves down in the valley of despair, whatever it might be. And yet, as you read through the Psalms, you can see the different experiences. And although we might not be privy to what these people are going through, we understand, because as we've been hearing so often, we've been there ourselves. And now as we come to the end of the Psalms, the one who has compiled them, the one who has brought them together, whoever it might be, he is going to end with these five separate hallelujah psalms, these praise psalms. And it is interesting that the thing that he is going to start with that we should dwell on as we finish the psalms in the praise is the worthiness of our God. And that seems to be the underlying theme of this Psalm 146, the worthiness of the God of heaven, the God in whom we believe, the God in whom we have trusted. So I'm going to be very quick here, and I'm going to leave time for someone else, lots of time. And I just, as I've been enjoying this, there's three things. I'll give you my little breakdown in case I forget, because I am prone to forget what I want to speak about. But you'll see in verse 1 and 2, there is a challenge that is made to praise. A challenge to praise. You come to verse 3 and 4, then the psalmist will give us a caution when it comes to praise. A caution in our praise. And then, of course, from verse 5 to the end, he is going to give us the cause for our praise. And so it's a very simple breakdown, very simple outline. A challenge to praise, a caution in praise, and the cause for praise. Praise ye the Lord. A challenge to praise. Well, when we come to verse 1, he's going to give us there a call. A call to praise. To praise in spite of circumstances. To praise not because we've been looking at ourselves, but rather we have been looking at God. The faithful God, as we've been hearing. The God who is stronger than any of the foes of this earth, of this realm, and of any spiritual realm. The God who is stronger. And so this call to praise is because the praise is directed at the God of heaven. At the God who keeps his word. We're going to see that as we go down a bit farther. This call to praise. So he says there in verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I just want to say at the first here that theology is very easy. It's easy to get up here and say things and, you know, it sounds so nice. But so often we find that the practice is quite a bit harder. And as I stand up here, and as many here know, and as we've been hearing, you know, some days we wake up and we might not feel like praising. We might not feel like, you know, saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, but he is calling us here. As he is coming to the end, he is saying, listen, we ought to praise the Lord. We ought to be marked by those, by them that constantly praise the Lord. I can remember when Mr. Gustafson used to come up our way into Northern Ontario back in the 80s, early 80s, when he was more able to drive around. It's funny how some of his stories just stick in your mind, but he was telling about a brother who was looked down upon because he was always saying, praise the Lord. You know, it didn't matter what situation he was found in, he would find some reason to praise the Lord, and that was irking a lot of people because, you know, what right does he have to be so happy? You know, what right does he have to be so joyful? And it didn't matter what you were talking about, whether it was something wonderful or something sad, he would always say, well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They were at a gathering of Christians, and they sent him into the den by himself because they were getting tired of hearing him say, praise the Lord. And while they were talking out in the other part, they could hear, or they knew this man was in the den, and all of a sudden they heard the man saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And they went in there, and he was sitting there reading a National Geographic. Now, I tell you, there's not a lot in National Geographic except for the pictures to praise the Lord about. But this was a few years ago, and he's sitting there saying, praise the Lord. And they come to him, and they said, how on earth can you find something to praise the Lord? And he said, well, I'm just sitting here reading about that Marianas Trench in the Pacific Ocean, and it's over 7 miles deep. And he says, I got thinking that it says that the Lord hath cast all my iniquities into the depths of the sea. He said, 7 miles down. He says, they're gone, praise the Lord. You know, so here was this man. He understood that, you know, in everything give thanks. He understood that, you know, this should mark him as a Christian to be of a thankful spirit and to praise the Lord. And so he calls them to praise. Verse 2, though, when we come to verse 2, he is going to be after them now to make a commitment to praise. You know, maybe we just need a change of thinking sometimes. Because we can get in a rut. We can become so much like a certain thing or a certain person that we don't realize that, you know, that we're, you know, always seeing the bad side of things. Always seeing, you know, the downside, you know, the cup is half empty all the time type of thing. Well, there at the beginning of verse 2, he says there in verse 2, he says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. He is making a personal commitment, it seems, in his own soul to, in spite of the circumstances, to find something to praise the Lord about. Now, I know that, you know, we're all made different. And there are some people that, you know, they could, you know, you could go into a conversation with them on top of the world and come out, you know, just dragging yourself out because they brought you down. Well, he's saying here to have this to have this thought process in our head. And it's all based on the greatness and goodness of God that's gone on in the earlier parts of the Psalms. And he says, listen, he says, while I'm on this earth, I'm making a commitment. I am going to praise the Lord. In the midst of trials, I'm going to praise the Lord. In the midst of the good things, he says, I am going to praise the Lord. And it is a conscious decision that he makes to be able to praise the Lord. You know, that's a good testimony. That has attracted so many unbelievers to Christ when they see Christians who are being dragged through stuff that, you know, when they look at it from their perspective, they have the right to be as grumbly and as depressed as possible. And yet here they go, they're on top of the world. They're not that they're not suffering, not that they're feeling the effects of what they're going through, but because they know there's a God that's in control, they say, while I'm on the earth, I'm going to praise the Lord. I am going to praise. But it's not just an earthly commitment. He says in the rest of the verse there, he says, not only will I praise the Lord, while I live I will praise the Lord, but he says, I will sing unto my God while I have any being. You see, he understands that this praise mode that he wants to get into on the earth, it's going to follow him into eternity. And in eternity, we will be able to sing praises unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so he says, why not get in practice now? While I live, I will praise the Lord, because listen, while I have any being, and because I have being for eternity, because I am going to be with him for eternity, it is an eternal commitment as well. So I will praise the Lord, this call to praise, it is an earthly commitment, and it is an eternal commitment, because the trials of this world will be over. Those things that follow us and dog us every single day, they will be done with forever. And so, I will praise the Lord while I live. I will praise the Lord while I have any being. So it is a earthly commitment. It is eternal commitment. But then he wants to caution us. And so, in the next couple verses, verses 3 and 4, there's a caution when it comes to this praise. And it's to get the right perspective as to who we are going to praise, because what he's going to tell us in verse number 3, he says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He is telling us there that when it comes to, he's cautioning us in our praise, that understand this, that get the praise in the right place, because when it comes to men, men are a powerless creature. It's not men that we're to praise. Yes, there are wonderful brethren and sisters that are amongst us, and we admire them. But he's saying here, when it comes to this praise, when it comes, he says, I want to caution you. He says, man, don't put your praises in men, because men are a powerless creature. Back home in Aurelia, I guess it might be close to a year ago now, I was made aware of this, you know, the passing of men. Man, rather, is a powerless creature. The brother that reads the letters of acknowledgement from fellowship that has been sent, the Tuesday night he got up to read two letters. And the one letter was from Mrs. Norman Crawford, and the other one was from Mrs. Harold Paisley. And those dear men, and we esteem them, and I mean, they have forgotten more than I've ever known. And yet, we see where they are today. We see the effects of age. We see the effects of the passing, of the powerless of man, absolutely no power to stop what has happened to their minds. And so he says here, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. And so we are not to praise men, although we esteem them and we appreciate them. He says, when it comes to this praise, we praise the God who has empowered them, the God who has given them that gift. That is the one that we praise, because man is a powerless creature. But not only is man a powerless creature, he tells us in verse 4 that man is a passing creature. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. We are transient. We are just passing through. God is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, forever. We've been hearing, even when it comes to men that we know, men that we have esteemed, men that we have appreciated, and yet we have seen even those people, they have gotten off the rails. They have stepped away from the truth of the Word of God as it is taught in the Bible. And so he is telling us here, yes, it's good to praise, but make sure that our praise is to God. And yes, we esteem these men for the gift, the empowerment, whatever God has given them, but ultimately the praise is directed at God. Praise ye the Lord. Are we praisers? Are we grumblers? Are we, you know, always trying to find the worst in things instead of giving God the glory for that which gives Him glory in whatever situation we are found? So there's this challenge to praise. An earthly challenge, because it's going to be an eternal thing that we will do. We will praise the Lord for all. But a caution. Oh, don't set our eyes on men, because they'll let us down. I'll let you down. Men that stand here, sooner or later, quite possibly, they will let you down. But God will never let us down. And so that's where our praise is directed. And that's why here, at the beginning of these five Hallelujah Psalms, that the writer here, whoever it is, as he has compiled them, at least brought them together, he wants us to understand, because that's the experience of those in the earlier Psalms. People have been let down. David let down by his familiar friend. All these different ones who had trusted in men and they were let down, and yet here the psalmist declares, God will never let us down. Praise ye the Lord, because He, of course, is worthy. So that's the challenge to praise, the caution in praise. But now when we come to verse 5 to the end, He's going to give us the cause for the praise. You know, there's a reason why we praise God. It's not just because we live in a fantasy world. You know, like the old song there from a few years ago, and didn't matter what the situation was, you know, people say, well, don't worry, be happy. You know, is that what it is? Just grasping after something out there that isn't there? No. He gives us very plain cause why we ought to praise God as we go down through the rest of this chapter. We will see that one of the reasons why we ought to praise God is because there in verse number six, he tells us there that about the greatness of His power. You see, the one that we're praising, the one who won't let us down, He is the God of creation. He is the God who spoke, and it was so, and it is maintained today by the very word of His power. He said, let there be, and there was. And so that's why we praise Him. That's why we will make no mistake or error or have no regrets in praising Him, because He is the God of creation, and associated with that is the greatness of His power. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. So there is the greatness of His power. But not only that, when you get down into verse 6 as well, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is therein, the greatness of His power, which keepeth truth forever. So there we have the greatness of His promises. His promises are yea and amen. You know, we make promises. I as a father, I made lots of promises, and sad to say, I couldn't keep them. Not that I made the promises knowing I couldn't keep them, but circumstances, situations changed, and the promise that I made, I wasn't able to keep. Oh, I felt bad about it, and I tried to make it up, but that specific promise I made, it went by the way, because I did not have the power to back it up. You know, we don't have to worry at all about the promises that God has made. They are surely going to come to pass. They have come to pass as far as our experience this far. The promise of God when it comes to salvation, looking unto the Savior, trusting in Him, He saved us. The promises of God that those that have trusted in Christ knew the indwelling of the Spirit of God, those are promises that He is keeping. the promises of God as far as our day-to-day life when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is a true promise. And as we are going to be appreciating and enjoying in the Bible reading throughout this weekend, the promise of his coming, the promise of being with him for all eternity. Listen, we ought to praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise because of the greatness of his promises. The promises of God that he has given to us as believers, they are surely going to come to pass. We can praise the Lord. And so that is why we ought to pray. The cause for praise because of the greatness of his power and the greatness of his promise. But then from verse 7 to 9, in those three verses, we have three trilogies. Three specific things in each of the next three verses that have to do with the grace of our God. We ought to praise God because of his grace. I'll just go over this very, very quickly. Verse number 7, there's three things there. It tells us that he fights for the helpless, which executed judgment for the oppressed. He feeds the hungry, it says, which giveth food to the hungry. And he frees the hostages. The Lord looseth the prisoners. So he fights for the helpless, he feeds the hungry, and he frees the hostages. Those that are bound. Yes, we were bound in sin. Yes, before we were saved, we were in the chains of sin, and they kept us bound. But even now, there are different things sometimes that as Christians, we allow ourselves to be brought into bondage. And yet he is stronger than that. And if we look to him, if we beseech the Lord, if we call upon him, he has the power to feed the hostage. Feel helpless? There are situations in your life where you feel absolutely helpless, unable to do anything about. Whether it's the helplessness of wayward children that have been brought up a certain way, and they've decided to go their own way, and we're absolutely helpless. What can we do? Well, we can look to the Lord. Because I want to tell you, God is able. God is able to bring the child that has strayed the farthest away. He's able to bring them back. Listen, he fights for the helpless. Those that are hungering, not just even physical hungering, but hungering after a greater knowledge of God. A greater understanding of God that would evoke greater praise and worship to God. Well, what does it say there? It says that he executes judgment for the oppressed. He giveth food to the hungry. So that's verse 7. When you come to verse 8, is another trilogy. It says there that in verse 8, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. So he lights the blind, he lifts the broken, and he loves the believer. He loves the believer. At the end there it says, the Lord loveth the righteous. When no one else loves us, when it seems that we're on our own, absolutely no one there to come along and console and love, the Lord loves us. He'll love us. He does love us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. And so this is another reason why. This is another cause to praise because he loves. I'm going over these very quickly, but I want to sit down. Verse number 9, another trilogy. It says there in verse 9, the Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless. So we have, he safeguards strangers. He supports the sufferers. But you know, I get a lot of comfort. You say, that's not very Christian. But I'll tell you, I'll explain in a second. It says, the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. And so I get a lot of comfort from the fact that God will ultimately sentence the sinners. You know, we live in a world today where the world absolutely hates what we stand for as the people of God. Oh, there are unsaved people who are very polite and they appreciate having Christian neighbors because they don't have to worry about getting broken into and things like that. Yeah, that's wonderful. But the world as an entity. Remember what the Savior said in the upper room? Listen, they hated me. They're going to hate you. And in a world that it is, the vehemence in which it is opposed to the things of God, it's just amazing. It's astounding. And they seem to, it seems to be a tidal wave that is coming up, anything Christian, anything of God. And yet there is a day coming when he is going to sentence the sinners. When that which is right, when the King of Righteousness, when he comes back and he is going to judge this world. Listen, that's a reason to praise God. That in a world that he has been despised in a world that he has been rejected in, he is going to sit on the throne of this earth. And all the nations are going to come and they're going to worship. They're going to bow down before him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The day is coming. And as we're going to look at this afternoon and tomorrow, it could come today. That is the beginning of the judgment of God's dealing with this world to bring them to that place when they will look upon him whom they have pierced. And they will see that he is Lord. And they will bow. And they will praise him to the glory of God the Father. Verse 10. There we have the glory of God. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all the generations. Praise ye the Lord. So when it comes to praise, a commitment. That in spite of circumstances, knowing that God is in control, I'm going to praise the Lord. A caution, don't praise men. Praise God. And a cause, well, we had all those reasons there. You look at them for yourself. We have ample cause to praise our God.